Chapter 9. Wednesday, May 16th, 11:43 a.m. Rainey drove Quincy to the school. Quincy sat in the passenger seat, gazing out the window with what he was afraid must be an incredulous stare. He had not been to Oregon in many years and had forgotten its stunning beauty. They drove through rolling, verdant pastures liberally sprinkled with black and white Holsteins and topped by red farmhouses with bunches of yellow pansies. He could smell freshly mown grass and the salty tang of ocean air. He could see towering mountains ringing the valley, their summits carpeted in dense Douglas fir. King-size cab trucks whizzed by, their powerful V8 engines gunning. People waved to Rainey as they passed, and about half a dozen black labs lolled their tongues as they panted merrily out the window. Up ahead, everyone slowed for a John Deere tractor that was laboring down the road. No one honked at the aging farmer or yelled at him to pull over. They simply waited and waved politely when they finally had room to pass. In answer, the farmer touched the brim of his faded red baseball hat. "That's Mike Berry," Rainey said, as they swung wide around the green tractor, breaking her silence for the first time since they'd gotten into the patrol car. He and his brother own the two biggest dairy farms around here. Last year, they bought out three family farms that were destroyed by the floods. One belonged to Carl Simmons, who's 60 years old and has no family left. Mike arranged for a living trust, so Carl can stay in his home until the day he dies and never worry about a thing. The Berry brothers are good people.
"I didn't think there were many places like this left," Quincy said honestly.
Rainey turned to look at him. "There aren't." She went back to driving. Quincy didn't bother her again. He could tell that her mood had turned pensive, and in truth, he was growing troubled himself. For all his talk of objectivity and professionalism, it was difficult to look at such beautiful countryside and contemplate the savagery that had gone on in the grade school. So far, few things in Bakersville were as he'd anticipated. That included Officer Connor. All PC platitudes aside, most female cops he'd known were broad-shouldered, thick-waisted, and frankly, butch. He wouldn't use those terms to describe Officer Connor. Her 5'6" figure appeared fit and pleasantly curved. Her long chestnut hair, worn unapologetically loose, framed a startling, attractive face with wide cheekbones, firm jaw, and full lips.